Okay, Rav Mosai. Shin Mem Aleph, Hilchos Aninos. They say this is one of the things that the Rav was a stickler about, that all of these halachos come from our Maseches this year, right? That's the whole beginning of the third parak. Misha Meso Muta Lefanov, etc., etc. And there's a concept.
Can I catch you on Thursday?
I'll get back to you. As of now, yes. The Rav pointed out that in Shas, Aninos doesn't mean anything to do with this simon. In Shas, the word Aninos is used for a different concept, which is that an onane, which means someone whose relative died that day, is usher in kudshim and meiser sheni and avoda. Lo achalti va'oni mimeni, mimenu v'achalti chatos hayom hayita ve'inei Hashem, etc. And that is a totally different gather from misha meso motzul lefanav. For example, even the meso is a motzul lefanav. Let's say the body's in jail, etc. And there would still be aninos in isur of kudshim and avoda and Meister Sheni, and let's say after the burial, according to most Rishonim, there would still be aninus for Kachem and Avoda and Meister Sheni. So the Rav was a stickler. The Rav says, no. In Shas Lashon, aninus means a concept found in the Torah that has to do with the day of death and nothing to do with whether it's mutal lefanav or not, which only has to do with Meister Sheni and Beis HaMikdash. And this is the din misha meso mutal lefanav, which is a different halacha kalos legamri. Everyone agrees with the Rav that it's a different halacha kalos. Legamre, but the minhag since the time of the Rishonim is to use the word aninos, a little lavdavka, to refer to this halachic concept of misha meso mutal lefanav as well. So someone who wants to be a stickler has the rub to rely on to say that this is not really hilchos aninos, it's hilchos misha meso mutal lefanav, but we will follow the minhag olam and call this aninos. Even though it's not coextensive with the aninus, which is discussed by that name in Shas. In any case, what do we know about misha meso mutal lefanav? We know what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, quoting from the beginning of the third parak of Brachos. Misha meso meshu chayvus ablolav, kodem kvur. What's the definition of meso mutal lefanav? Meso means one of the seven relatives that your chayv avelos on. And mutal lefanav means, we'll see, it means a lot more than this, it means before kfur, after kfur, it's already buried. Before kfur, the body is placed before you to take responsibility for burying. What are some of the isurim of an onain? Number one, ochel b'bayis achir. You can't eat in front of the mace. You have to eat, not literally, bayis almost always doesn't mean house, it means in a different room. Ein lo bayis acher, someone doesn't have a different room, ochel beis chaveru, he has to go to his friend's house. Ein beis chaveru, he doesn't have a friend with a house. Also lo mechitza, very weird cases, also he builds a mechitza in his house and eats. Vafil mechitza, sodin, shari, and taka, shule, sodin, be'in, shem, yin, tabu, ruach. Even a sheet counts a mechitza if you nailed its corner so that it would not fly away in the normal wind, and if all these weird cases, he has no place else, and he has nothing to build a mechitza with, then machzer panav ochli just turns around and eats. So that's the first isser. The first isser, what are the isurim? Dine one. Isser number one is asur lechol Bifnei Hameis, with all the details as to, you know, what you should do to properly separate yourself from the mace so that you'd be allowed to eat. Here we seem to have, at least according to Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Pesachi Tshuva Sifkat on Megbez, a machlokes why. So says the Tasir, Loi L'Rush, Rashi. It's like making fun. After all, I can eat and the mace can't, and that's not nice. And the Taz says, so why is only the relative also to eat in front of the mace? Says, no, it's only Lord of the Rush if I should be worried about bearing this. Someone should be worried about bearing the mace, and instead he's eating, then that is disrespectful. The ikker is the eating instead of taking care of the mace. The shach has a different detail.
And the Shach says, because of
Loig L'Rosh, it's usher even on Shabbos. Even though there's no burial on Shabbos, it's still usher. This seems to be at loggerheads with the Taz.
Now, there are Achronim who say the Shach and the Taz agree, but Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Pesachei Tshuva here say no.
Say Rabbi Kiva, say the Shach and Taz are disagreeing about this.
The Shach is pure Loig L'Rosh. You can't eat in front of a mace because I'm alive and I can eat. The mace is dead and he can't, and it's not respectful.
It has nothing to do with who, what, when, where, why. And the Shach would say it's also on Shabbos, and it's also even for strangers. It's not davka din of relatives. This particular din is not about meso mutal lefanav. It's just about meso mutal lefanav.
Well, the Taz would say, no, it's about feeding yourself instead of taking care of your dead relative.
And therefore, it's only for the relatives, and therefore, it's only on weekdays.
Some weekdays, you're supposed to take care of the dead relative. On Shabbos, it's also to do anything for the dead relative. And therefore, they say that the Shach and Taz, even though they don't contradict each other
explicitly, I'll be love this, they contradict each other,
and then we'd be machmer, like the,
so here we have a Chakira. Is it pure Loeg L'Rosh, or is it, okay, Rosh is Loeg L'Rosh, right? I disagree with them, but because of neglecting, or let's say better, because of the Chiyo his Askos, because you should be dealing with the mace, and here we would put the Shach Aser B'Shabbos, which the Rabbi Akiva Eger says, Af Rechokim Asurim, even non-relatives. Well, here we put the Taz, Rak Krovim, only Krovim are Aser, and Rabbi Akiva Eger says that according to the Taz, it would be Mutter B'Shabbos, and he makes a Machlokas, and how do we paskin this Machlokas? We would be Machmir like the Shach, and therefore, Lemaisa, we end up being Machmir that is not really Mesa Mutal Fana. This is just Mesa Mutal Fana. And it doesn't, it's not, even though it's found in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, together with the Din of Onim, we'd be Machmir like Rabbi Akiva Eger based on the Shach, that it really applies to everyone.
According to the Taz, can a random person eat in front of the mace and make brachas or whatever?
Yes. So can he make brachos? Can a random person make brachos? That's an interesting question, because you're not supposed to daven in front of the mace. Maybe also maybe you'd have to make the bracha, you know.
You're not supposed to daven in front of the mace?
Meaning you're not supposed to do mitzvos in front of the mace, because the Loeg L'Rosh will see. So it's an interesting question. Okay, we'll come back to it. Maybe you'd have to make the bracha like outside. Okay, Viter. What else is Aser? Bein kach ubein kach, va'afilu hu be'ir acheres. Either way, even if the mace in another city, we'll get back to that, that's a very important thing. Eino mesa va'ochel. He cannot eat with heseva. You can't eat with heseva.
Right, number two. Eino mesa the ochel, you can't eat with heseva.
What does heseva mean? We don't do heseva. We don't do heseva anyway. So here, there is a very important. One second. Yeah, there is a. There is a very important Taz here. Says the Taz gan beis al shulchan o al hambita me'ikra dim we paskin. Right, this is the famous Rav Yah. Already, it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Remember the Rav Yah who says that really me'ikra dim yotzei seva nowadays by sitting at a chair at the table at the Pesach Seder. It's just a minhag chumra bi'alma that we lean. And he explains that's why women. He's Rav Yosef.
Why do women not do a seva? Even though a chashan went next to a seva, nowadays all women are chashan.
Ah, because really sitting at a table is heseva. So that's what the Taz says. Heseva means alamita on a couch like in Roman times, or sitting in a chair at a table. What?
Shach and the
Taz say the same thing. Meaning that an onay should not sit at the table to eat. He should like grab a quick bite, but not sit at a table and eat. I haven't seen everyone being makbel on this, but you think they should.
You know, I don't know why. All the svarim say it. So, equals, or rather, including chair and table. Right? Meaning he shouldn't have a normal meal. What do you mean? He's about to bury his relative. He's going to have, like, a normal meal, sit down to a regular meal? No, he should grab a bite quickly.
Or just say Yoshi. I thought he's, like, doing his seba at the table. Is that possible?
Al ha-sholchan o al ha-mita.
Like we do now, is you do a seba on the seder. Leaning on the table.
Then it should be al ha-kisei o al ha-mita. I don't know. Maybe. But I don't think that's what they mean. Then we'll see that you're not. So it's not a problem. Next. Ve'enochel basar v'enoshos ha-yayin. Classic basar v'yayin. Right? Ve'enochel basar v'enoshos ha-yayin. An onain is asur and basar v'yayin. Why? Because basar and yayin are very indulgent and distracting as well. Okay, there's a whole deal in the Pesach Tshuva a little later on. What about Shabbos leftovers? Like, there's a whole deal by the 9 days, but we're machmer on that. The Pesach Tshuva here says, okay, like maybe just like soup of meat is okay, as long as you're not eating the meat itself. Rabbi Akiva Eger has a whole discussion. What about like tashos habasar? What about like, you know, barley and potatoes from the cholent without the meat? Or what about Chamar Medina, other chashiv drinks besides wine? Lamaisa, the post can assume that it's only mamish meat and mamish wine, but including chicken. Meaning, okay, if you're just eating the other dishes that have the ta'am of basar in them, we assume that's okay. But mamish meat or chicken and wine is asur for an onei.
Same thing about 9 days or so of the ta'am.
I think we... I don't recall 100%, so I'm not going to say. Okay. There's another isser here. If you look in on the side of the page or in the bottom, it has something called Haggah. It says, "B'masechas smachos perik yod isa gam kevein ochel kol tzorko." You shouldn't eat or drink till you're full. You should only eat halfway. Not until you're full. This is very controversial. Why is this controversial? Because the Beis Yosef discussed it. And the Beis Yosef, why is it in the Shulchan Aruch if it's in the Yerushalmi? Because Beis Yosef quoted this Yerushalmi, and he says, all the Rishonim left it out because it's not in the Bavli, so we don't paskin that way. So the Beis Yosef left it out on purpose. We don't paskin like it. It's Yerushalmi. But it's not in the Bavli, and I would have passed it like it anyway, except all the Rishonim left it out. So obviously I have a Masorah from the Rishonim that we don't pass it that way. Nonetheless, many Achronim like this Haggad do pass it this way. Many Achronim, however, still don't pass this way. The Gesher Chaim Taka is Machmir, like this Haggad. No, not Haggad Ramah. It's something called the Haggad, and your old server portion of yours. It's just called Haggad. I don't know why. I didn't write it. Anyway, the Gesher Chaim is machmir this way, but the Orcha Shulchan is Mekel like the Mechaber. Lamaisa, the Ikar din is to be Mekel like the Mechaber. It's not in most of the Achronim, although it would be a nice Chaya, it would be good Chumra, but Achila Ushtia called Sarko is Aser for sure, according to the Yerushalmi and the Seches Smachos. And the Haggah, whoever that is, and other Achronim, but Mutter, according to the Shulchan Aruch, Alpi the Rishonim, and the Aruch HaShulchan, and others, and the Ikardin, I think that we are Mekel, although it would be a nice way to not get distracted. Continuing.
Are we muffin alcohol then?
What?
Are we muffin
alcohol? It's actually an excellent question. I'd be machmer in alcohol, so I found it in one of these modern svarim. What does he say here in the art scroll book? He says, alcoholic beverages are permitted. Just don't get drunk, because that's what most of the achronim say. Because usually when we find an isser of wine, it does include alcoholic beverages. Okay, lanias daiti. I don't think an onin should be drinking any alcoholic beverages. But the Corona or Mikal and Chamer and Dina, unless they meant it. Lachor, that's, I don't know, Tsarkion. You know, one of these technicalities. I don't know. I don't know why no one should be drinking alcoholic beverages. I agree with you. Okay, now, here is the big din of Onen. The Eino Mevarech Birkas HaMotzi Lo Birkas HaMazon. He doesn't say HaMotzi or bench. That's what it's doing in Maseches Brachos, of course. We don't say a Brach Rishon or a Brach Rishon and we don't count it towards Zimon. He shouldn't even say Amen to their Bracha. Upater, and it's not just Hamotzi and benching, Upater may call mitzvahs in the Torah. He's Pater from all the mitzvahs in the Torah. So he's Pater from all the mitzvahs in the Torah. Vafilming the Tzorch Lassim Tzorch HaMeis, even if he doesn't have to deal with the mace right now. There are other people who are taking care of the mace. I don't know, there's like 10 brothers, right? And one of them's taking care of everything because he's a real macher. Nonetheless, the other 9 are still have all the din of Aninos. And our potter from all the mitzvahs in the Torah, that is mefurish in the Gemara. So, 5 Torah mitzvos. And that's going to be a very big deal. Torah mi mitzvos. So one of the issues is potter for mitzvos or usher in mitzvos? Yes, Michal.
When we say that we can't make hamotzi or bench, does that mean you can't eat bread or just no bread?
No, it means he eats without a bracha.
Interesting
question. Because some people eat bread. Only rich people eat other things. You're a rich person. Okay, the guy in this Shulchan Aruch is not. So here we have Machlokes Rishonim. The Mechaber is Medayik from Rashi and the Rambam. Then it's a Ptur, but it's not an Isser. But it's Mefurish and Yishami that it's Usher, and Tosos and most Rishonim say it is Usher. Therefore, he says, V'yish Omer, M'shafilim, Yirtza Lahachra, Latzma, Levorcha, Lanos, Omen, Echam, Varcha, Eino, Rashai, V'ayin, and Orchayim, etc. Where we pass in that way. So, it is not only here we have the whole Machlokes, there's about Turmi Mitzvos, Lemaisa, is it just Potter, Umutter, like optional, or Potter, V'Usher? Right? I mean, maybe it's just also he's a potter and mitzvah, so he's potter, but it's not usher to do it. Or maybe no, it's a special din, more than regular also he's a potter and mitzvah, then it's usher. So this is Mashmos, let's call it Rashi, and the Rambam. This is the Yerushalmi, and Tosfos, and Rov Rishonim, and this is how we paskin. Is there any naftamina to the Shita that maybe it's mutter du mitzvos? So later on in the, not everyone agrees with this, in the Pesachim Tshuva Yotes says, I am a tshuva as panim eiros, shekasa ba'oni shlo yodea din v'hibdol matzei Shabbos, ein tzarech lach v'lahav lach v'r sheinis, paskin alach l'maisa. An onen who's ignorant, didn't know the halachas v'mi habdol on matzei Shabbos. No, never, like he was in Shabbos. So Shabbos, he's not an onen on Shabbos. So Shabbos ends, he says Abdallah. He doesn't realize he becomes an onen when Shabbos ends, and he's not supposed to say Abdallah. So what if the Dievet said Abdallah? So if it was totally us from say Abdallah, he's not Yotze. But if it was optional, then he is Yotze. So even though we pass it on, sir, Bibi Eben, you know what, Safi Brachos Lohakel, Bibi Eben, if he already said Abdallah, then he doesn't go back and say it again, because maybe it was mutter to say Abdallah like Rashi and the Rambam. Not all Akronim agree with this. Some Akronim say, even yeah, not Yotzi. We pass in the Vada against Rashi and the Rambam. Okay, but the Maisa, at least Shafiq Brachos Lahakel, we would say, Bidi Eved Lo Yachzor V'Yavarech. That is Pesri Tshuva, Sivkatan, Yud Tes. But again, it's we clearly paskin, even though the Shulchan Aruch just brings 2 days, we clearly paskin like the day that it's Asher Legamrei, as the Mishnah Berurah says in Siman Ayin Aleph, which is Dine Aninos in Or Chaim, Sivkat and Zayin, De'eno Rashi Lahachmer Uchol Gavnei V'chein Iker. Right, the Iker is that it's an Isser Gomer, that's the, and parentheses, Achronim. That's the Maskan of the Achronim summarized in the 7th Mishnah Berurah in Siman Ayin Aleph, which is the Siman parallel to this in Or Chaim. It doesn't have everything. It doesn't have Basar and Yayin and things like that. It only has the Torah for mitzvos, because that's Hilchos Kriya Shema, so it's relevant there. Ayin Shem. Here, before we get to Shabbos and Yontif. There's a lot of details about the Torah from mitzvos. One very, very important detail before we get to Shabbos and Yontif is Sifkat and Zayin Pesachei Tshuva, which is Dabar Pashat. You know, it's always tricky sometimes, you know. Ayin Nechachem Tzviya says this. You have to know what a Pesachei Tshuva is saying. Oh, here's something I found in one particular shot. And that's the opinion of one Akron, who knows. Sometimes he's quoting something, I found it wherever, but it's like a Dabar Pashat that everyone knows. Here, in Pesachei Tshuva Zayin, it's a Dabar Pashat that everyone knows, even though he starts with Ayin Nechachem Tzviya. He's only Pashat Mitzvah Aseh. He's not allowed to do Lavith. He can't be Treif. That is a Dabar Pashat. You know, it's... And then he gets into all these issues. Usher belavim upater mi mitzvos asay. Here you get into a lot of lundus, and aminos is geshmak in lundus because the test, it's a nafkamina of two questions that you have about dozens of mitzvahs. One of them is, what's an isser and what's a mitzvah? Like one of the examples here is, you know, is it a mitzvah to get rid of your chametz, or is it really an isser to have chametz? I mean, it seems to be both in the Torah. You know, which is koveya, which partially is a question of, do we mean your potter to do positive things, or you're not allowed to do negative things, or do we mean we serve mitzvahs? And therefore, he brings a machlokas about getting rid of your chametz, but clearly, we hold that, he says, there's a prima godin who wants to be mekel, but we clearly hold, like the Chomos Yerushalayim, who disagreed with him, that he has to get rid of his chametz. How does he get rid of his chametz? So that, since the Kabbalah Vav says, he should get someone else to do bedikah for him. Like that, the pshara. Get someone else to do bedikah for him. Another very fascinating hakira is Sifkat and Dalet. How many Netilas Yadayim? Is it a mitzvah to do Netilas Yadayim, so he's potter? Or is it an isser to eat with tamei hands, so he has to wash them? So in Sifkat and Dalet, he says that he still has to do Netilas Yadayim because that's an isser. And even though the Pesachei Tshuva questioned that, he found the Chavurah Daniel, and then he found the Berakhah Yosef, he says it's a gzeira derabanan, meaning an isser, not a mitzvah. Of course, you shouldn't say a bracha on it. And then he quotes a few things. So, for example, Netilas Yadayim, that's a great chakira. Basically, any mitzvah you've ever had a chakira, whether it's a positive mitzvah or a negative isser, you should look for only for an afkamina, which is, of course, what we did in the beginning of the year in Brachas, when we had such a chakira. Although that's not really a live chakira by the time of the Shulchan Aruch. Netilas Yadayim.
It's before bread in the morning.
What?
Before bread in the morning.
Talking about before bread. The Chor, you'd think the same in the morning, that maybe there's an isser to, I mean, that would be totally on whether it's because of Ruach Ra, yeah, maybe it'd be us to walk around with Ruach Ra, it's an interesting criteria. I would think, do without a bracha. Of course, don't say a bracha. A bracha is clearly a mitzvah. How about B'dikas Chametz, Yaseh Al Yedei Shliach, and you want to go kahina b'kahina.
Why does it help that the shesh kodesh kamoso he's doing it?
What?
The mitzvah is not the dying.
No, the isser is the kia mitzvah to do the maisa mitzvah. And here's someone else doing the maisa mitzvah.
What's the mitzvah dying situation?
He's eating bread. Does he have to wash?
Let's say he washes and eats bread, and then he touches his shoe. Does he have to wash again?
Or yes. What?
Whatever
you normally hold. Okay, we're not getting into that now. But the answer is that it doesn't matter. Whatever you're chayv to do, we consider an isser. I understand you're saying that's an afkamina of that. Some other discussions that come up. We won't go into all the bris milah things. Those don't happen all the time. They'll come up a little later. But the Pesachei Tshuva has a lot of other discussions. Like, for example, what if he's in the middle of a mitzvah? Lachor, this is gzeira d'rabbanan, that he's also doing mitzvah. Says he has to stop in the middle. So the Pesachei Tshuva above says, if he's be'emtza tefila yigmar. If they were only gozer, he shouldn't start. If they weren't gozer, he shouldn't continue. And here it's getting a little more radical in Sifkatan Ches. What if he's about to daven and he doesn't know yet? Should you tell him? Kosafunu Daniel says, well, if there's nothing for him to do anyway, meaning if he has to take care of the mace, then of course you should tell him. But let's say, remember, the guy's 10 sons, one's a mocker sitting here, everything, the other 9 are sitting around twiddling their thumbs. So if one of them doesn't know yet, do you have to tell him? He says, no, you don't have to tell him. You can tell him after davening. That's the Chamud Daniel. That you can delay informing him if if he's not necessary. Meaning this relative's not necessary, even though he'd be an onen anyway, because he said even there are others. He's still an onen. You can delay telling him. Another detail that comes up here. Should I put like sifkatans of pisrei tshuvas here? The test. Mishnah Brura, Ayin Aleph Zion, Dalid, Vav, Ches. Another interesting discussion is, this is a fascinating discussion, what about kavod of other relatives? What about kavod of other relatives? Give me a second. What's the fascinating case here? Well, that's going to depend on another chakira, so let me get to that in a second. Let me mention one other thing. Pesachei Tshuvas Sukkot Yudalit says he doesn't count for a minyan, because he's potter for mitzvos. So if potter for mitzvos, they can't count for a minyan, and what's the diuk from? I think it's, is it not Yudalit?
Maya Seshan.
Yeah. The diuk is that the kolbo says he goes to shul. And we'll see in a second that there are more rights here, and there's the mitzvos rights. Well, since we say he shouldn't do mitzvos, then there's nothing he can do in shul. That's how we know that the Ramban Rabbi Yosef really hold that he's also do mitzvos, because they say he's not to do in shul. Maybe he's just helping make a minyan. The diuk is, he doesn't count for a minyan, and that's how we paskin. We paskin that. Eino mitzarif le minyan. He doesn't count for a minyan. But, yes, Yossi, and then Arya, and then Achakira.
Is mitzvah by being there in a minyan? I mean, if I go up to the minyan, and yeah, I mean, I'm answering, if they need me to run the minyan, isn't it for other people? I already got in my mitzvah.
Is it a mitzvah when it starts to a minyan? It's a mitzvah in terms of helping other people do a mitzvah is a mitzvah, but it's not actually doing a mitzvah.
So you're not allowed to help someone cross the street?
No. I know what I mean. I don't mean that he's not allowed to. I mean it doesn't count. He doesn't count for the minyan. Because if you're not, he's like a katan, he's not a chayim, so he doesn't count. I don't mean he's not allowed to help people out. I mean he doesn't count. Like, if the government's coming to count if there's a minyan in shul to see if they should close down the shul, he can go there and be the 10th man. They still can't say kaddish though, because he doesn't count, so he's not mechuyev b'davar, he's like a katan.
Would the chamud and daniel be different if there would be two tefil shav for someone who was sick? You know you're sick, and then
it's already dead. It's an interesting question. Because tefillah has a lot more than that also. I think he would still say it. Now, there's a chakir in the Yerushalmi. What's the chakir in the Yerushalmi? Chakir in the Yerushalmi is, why is he usher? Why is he usher to do all other mitzvos? Right? So the Yerushalmi has a chakira. What's the chakira in the Yerushalmi? There are two studies in the Yerushalmi. It could be. Well, that's the second. So what's the first side? There's no one else. Meaning, even if right now he's not doing anything, there's no one else to take care of things, and he needs to be available. Why? So the Yerushalmi has a chakira. In the Yerushalmi, is it because of Ein mi sheyisa masao? There's no one else who can help him. Or because of kavod hames. What's the nafkamina? Nafkamina is if there is someone else who can help him. Again, your brother was a macher and he's taking care of everything. Nafkamina. And that's all in the Yerushalmi. Nafkamina. Im yesh mi sheyisa masao. How do we paskin? What did the Shulchan Aruch say? The Shulchan Aruch said, even if you don't have to do anything, there are other relatives who take care of it. Nonetheless, you're still aser, meaning we paskin like the second day in the Rishalmi. That even if there's someone else take care of it, he's still an onan and he's still aser to do mitzvos. However, interestingly, a lot of the achronim assume that we really paskin like Tzvei Dinah. We really paskin, there are two reasons the onan is pater. Number one, because he's necessary to take care of whatever might come up for the mace. You never know when you might need to take care of something. And number two, because we covered a mace. And we'll see some nafkaminas in a moment. First of all, let me point out that the Rav famously, the Rav liked to be very existential about things. The Rav famously understood what is covered a mace mean. What is covered a mace mean? So I understand what Ein Ishi Yisum Asal means. That's the first side of the Yerushalmi. Someone has to be, what do they call it in Hebrew? Behikom. Right? It's like the guy who's like, I don't know, you're like the Shomer, and you say, there's nothing to guard, so don't pay attention. No, you always have to be around paying attention in case something comes up. Right, so that's the first time of Yerushalmi. That makes a lot of sense. It's exhibit or a button that even if you're not doing anything now, you have to be available and don't get distracted by mitzvos. Even though you think it's harmless, no, don't be distracted. But if another family member is taking care of everything, then you would do mitzvos. But we pass like a second day of Shabbos, covet a mace, even if there's 100 relatives, and one of them is taking care of everything, the other 99 are also us to do mitzvos. Why covet a mace? What does covet a mace mean? Could say covet a mace means just to not get distracted by other things and think about the mace the whole time. I assume that's what most people think. The Rav made it much more philosophical. Very famously, it's in this book. He has philosophy in the book also. The Rav made it much more philosophical. The Rav understood that, no, what does Kavod HaMeis means? Kavod HaMeis doesn't mean not being distracted by mitzvot, because mitzvot are very geschmack and distracting. Kavod HaMeis meant taking the death seriously. There are two ways to react when someone dies. I hear someone died. What do I say? Okay, someone died, natural psychological defense mechanism. That person died. That has nothing to do with me. Right? I'm going to live forever, of course. Right? And you know how it works. You ever see people in psychology? Everyone always, even if you aren't lamdanim, they're all lamdanim when it comes to death. Every time someone dies, they immediately have a svar in their head why that doesn't apply to them. Someone got killed driving 20 miles over the speed limit on the highway near my house, and I drive 25 miles over the speed limit in the same highway. And the first thing I said to myself is, yeah, because he was in a small car. I'm a big car. That's a totally different, totally different story. What? In all seriousness, like, no one likes to think of death as relevant to them. But then sometimes, like death, like if you really think of death, you're like, whoa, like we're all going to die any second now. And that's a very debilitating, paralyzing thought. And it's healthy to usually not react that way to death. Of course, when anyone dies, you have to react that way a little. Take a little musser. But the Rav says that's when a stranger dies. When a relative dies, their covenant mace means when this person died, life is meaningless. If this relative like dies, then life is meaningless. Then there's no point in life because there's no guarantee of 3 seconds from now. And if life is meaningless, then if you're a yid, then what's the thing that has meaning in life? The only thing of meaning in life is mitzvos. Right? So if you're a yid, your life is chacham leiv yikach mitzvos. Life is about doing mitzvos and growing spiritually. And if life is meaningless, then there's no point doing mitzvos. And that's what the Rav explained philosophically, that he's explained the covenant mace of the Rishalmi philosophically as not just I don't want to get distracted by doing other things and forget about the mace, but that if you really take the monstrosity of death seriously, then you give up on life. And giving up on life means there's no point doing mitzvos. Again, for firm people, for whom that's the point of life. There are people who have all kinds of misunderstandings of the Rav. Yes?
What's the issue with distraction if it's on the other side of Mishi and Isumiso?
That, no.
Not from her.
It's just like to be involved in other things and not be thinking about the mace. Even if you should be thinking about the mace.
You know, there's like Stalin.
Yeah.
Like
right. But the Rav says not that you should be thinking about the mace and not be distracted. It's that you should feel like life is meaningless. And therefore, there's no point doing anything. And the main anything there's no point doing is mitzvos. Again, it's not that all of a sudden by someone's relative dies they should feel irreligious. No, they should feel like religion is the point of life, but there's no point living, so therefore they don't practice their religion.
Why should that apply to every single person that dies? Everyone should be holding. Because it's going to remind you that life
no, because Chazal were only mitaken. Everyone should always take a little muster, but Chazal were only mitaken this for a relative, and that's kavod ames, because the kavod of the relative is to internalize it and not... and not fortify yourself against it. That's
why, why is the chiyah for everyone at the that spaden? The chiyah should just be for relatives. I mean, it sounds like the same thing that everyone should cry over this mace.
Everyone should cry. It's not the same as thinking life is meaningless. I'm sad that he died. It's not the same as thinking life is meaningless. Again, the other guy in the small car, and that's why he died without a seatbelt, because it has nothing to do with people like me in big cars. I'm very sad that he died because he was a wonderful guy. He left a wife and kids. Never. But it has nothing to do with me. That's everyone else at the funeral. Okay, Viker. Anyway, some of the achronim give a little tzvidin. Like, for example, this shut arbitrary oven. I'm not sure exactly what he is, who he is. In the sifkat test, I mean, the basically shoot makes it a little more detailed as well. But what does he say? He says that. Tzvidinim. What does he say? What's the case? A brother of the Nifter had yard sight. I want to say Kaddish for his father or mother. So what does he say? Yeah, he throws some other factors that the Tzvi says are not Maki. What does he say? He says, hold on a second. The kids of the Nifter are taking up Christ. So there's no, the time of Yishmasol doesn't apply. Only the time of Kavod Ames. And when it comes to Kavod Ames, Kavod of a parent is greater than Kavod Hames, because Kavod of a parent is greater than Kavod of a brother. Now, the Achronim question this. That's not necessarily true. Kavod of someone who just died now might be better, bigger than Kavod of someone who died many years ago. But he says, based on the Tzvedinim, you know, I don't know, I haven't seen that discussed so much in the modern day books. I never actually got this, Shaila, of someone who wants a Kaddish for his father. Well, is it only for his brother? What should he do? But at least according to Sarabaturi Oven in Sivkot and Tess, what does he say based on the Tzvei Dinam in Sivkot and Tess? He says, Beis Dinam, and therefore can say Kaddish for father because Kibod Av is Doche Kavod of Shar Krovim. And the case is that Yesh Mi Sheyisam Aso. Meaning, if he had been responsible for his brother, he wouldn't say Kaddish for his father, because the Yesh Mi Sheyisam Aso. But since there are other people taking care of it, and they're not asking for help anyway in the funeral, they're not asking for help in the funeral anyway. So the Yisma So doesn't apply, the Kavod Ames doesn't apply because Kavod of Av is bigger, especially if, you know, that's the debate a little later on, if it's also the father of the Nifter, so they're both Chayav and Kavod of the father. Anyway, Lamaisa, that's a controversial psak, but it's based on the Tzvedinim. We'll see other nafkamines of the Tzvedinim as well. Because he's starting to say, if you had been the guy responsible for the funeral, Kavod Kibud Av Ein would not have been enough to matter saying Kaddish.
Because
Ein Mishiyis Masal was also a true defense. It's only because the Nifter had kids and they're taking care of everything and you're not. That's what he starts with.
Is there any Hakamin where the Kaskin is the outside of the funeral?
I don't know. Someone, if Yesh Mishiyis Masal in a normal case. Okay. Let's continue a little. Uve Shabbos V'Yom Tov. What about on Shabbos and Yom Tov?
Aninus does not apply on Shabbos and Yontif. Why does Aninus not apply on Shabbos and Yontif? So here we have a bit of a machlokas. The Shach references Sifkatan in Sifkatan Tess that the Smag and some poskim assume that the Bavli, there's just no Aninus on Shabbos and Yontif. There's just no Aninus on Shabbos and Yontif. However, it's Mefurish in Yerushalmi that theoretically there could be Aninus on Shabbos. When theoretically could there be Aninus on Shabbos? In what case theoretically could there be Aninus on Shabbos? What? What is Mach Shechal Atchum? If he has to walk on Saturday evening, he has to go to the next town to buy a coffin, let's say, and it's a far walk, so he starts walking to Tchum Shabbos while it's the light outside, so the time Shabbos ends, he'll be at the Tchum Shabbos and be able to save time, like, with the rest of the walk. You know, it's an hour walk, but he walked 20 minutes before Shabbos up to the Tchum, and the other 40 minutes after Shabbos, and he'll be able to bury the meat sooner. So then for those last 20 minutes, he's chayv. And that's what it says. Shabbos yonder ochel basar shows yayin im yirtzeh. Im yirtzeh the achronim right. On Shabbos, afshal to have meat and wine. You don't have to eat meat and wine on Shabbos, but on yontif, he's chayv to have meat and wine. And with varech, the chayv kol mitzvos, chot mitashra mitzvah sha'asar. Okay, there's a three-way machlokes, v'tashra mitzvah on Shabbos. Right, the machlokes tanoim is chayim tashlamit and shabbos or potter, and the machlokes rishonim if he's potter, does that mean it's optional or it's usser? We paskin that it is usser, she usser bo. That's why he adds chayim chol mitzvos chot mitashlamita she usser bo. Umotaleil basic nes of shabbos ve'af becholin iser rak me'achos shalosu pal ma'yasu shav. He's allowed to even go to shul on Shabbos. He can go to shul also on the weekday. Just nothing to do there. According to us, who say he's usser mitzvos. If he's tzarich lahachshav al atchum, he lost it. Tzarich emes chol al aninus le'usser v'kula misha shemaskel aleches kedil hachshav al atchum. Okay, basically aninus is chal on Shabbos when the mace is mutal afana. What's the point of Shabbos? Is that Shabbos is called Eino mutal lefanav. It's not that there's no aninus on Shabbos. It's just that on Shabbos, it's not mutal lefanav because you're not responsible for the mace on Shabbos. Why are you not responsible? Because there's nothing to do. So it's not the Yom Shabbos that's makia. It's just that Yom Shabbos is not mutal lefanav because of the Isra Malacha on Shabbos. And here we see mutal lefanav doesn't mean the dead is literally lying around, it means that there's responsibility on you. Even if there's responsibility on 10 brothers and one is doing it, it's on all 10 of them. Therefore, Shabbos, and then, but, machshech al hatchum is an onen. Because then it's mutal lefanav in that rare case. Okay, nowadays you don't really have machshech al hatchum, so someone has to go someplace after Shabbos. They drive there, and so they wait till Shabbos ends to get in their car. But at least theoretically. V'imrot zel kavra, how about yontif? How about yontif? So imrot zel kavra b'yontif rishon l'yamimin asur b'kulan. Yontif is optional. Shabbos, you're not allowed to bury. Not Al-Yidei Yisrael, not Al-Yidei Akum. It's usher to bury on Shabbos. How about Yontif? On Yontif, they made a special heter on Yontif. You can bury Al-Yidei Akum. But it's an option. Why? Because it's more common to be buried by Jews than to be buried by Goyim. So they gave you an option of burying the Yontif Al-Yidei Akum. And therefore, if someone decides to use that option, then for him, it makes a little fun because he has to tell the Akum what to do and arrange everything. And if someone decides not to use that option, then for him it's like Shabbos. So, Yontif depends if he wants to bury Al Yedei Akum. How about Yontif Sheni? So what does the Gemara say about Yontif Sheni? What does the Gemara say about Yontif Sheni? Jews can bury. Does the Gemara say anything even more striking than that? Not necessary for now yet, but Kechol shavi rabbanan. The rabbanan means yotzev sheni, it's a chol for all the needs of the mace. Again, it doesn't mean you can drive to the funeral to attend. It means for actual needs of the mace. Meaning, not only can you bury, you can make him nice shrouds, you can, put in the right perfume, get the right perfume for it if that's what you use, you can get the right coffin, etc. Anything that's physically near the mace, you can do on Yontif Sheni. That's what he says. The kolsh can be Yontif Sheni, Shuba Achna Yochel Kavro Shecholov Kol Dine Aninos. All Dine Aninos apply to Yontif Sheni, so Yontif Sheni, it's not an option. On Yontif Sheni, it is a din that you should bury on Yontif Sheni. Kechol Shav Rabbanan. It's not like a kula, it's a het or gomer, and therefore it's a chi of gomer to bury on Yontif Sheni. That is, now here we get a little controversial, because did that mean Yontif Sheni is really like chol? So here we have Machlokas, says the Taz. The Taz quotes the Maharil. The Taz quotes the Maharil that at night he's not an Oneh. He can make Kiddush at Simchas Torah night. Only during the day is an Oneh in Yontif Sheni. Why? Because you only bury during the day. Really, we all, in Chutz Laaretz, they always only bury during the day. Yeah, but usually at night there's like a million things to do in Yontif Sheni, since there's less things to do, because you only do things that are physically necessary for the mace, like coffin and tachrichen, arum tachrichen, etc. Therefore, only during the day. This is, give me a second, controversial. The Shach disagrees. The Shach says no, day and night. You have this Maharil quoting the Maharash. No, that's because he held, unlike the Yerushalmi, he held that there was just a din, that there's no aninus on Yontif, and it had nothing to do with being mutal fadav. But he rejects him. So let's just say the two sheets for a second. Says the Shach, there is total aninus. Says, however, the Taz and the Drisha quoted by the Shach, Alpi, the Maharil and the Maharash. Okay, Maharash is like basically one of the most chashuv of the G'dolei Dorash now, the generation before the Maharil, even though nowadays we don't have Sfarim, so we don't learn him. They say, no, he's only owning during the day, which is the time of Purah, but not at night. Meaning, Yontif Sheni only owns during the day, not at night. Why? Because during the days when you're osik of the mace, at night you are not osik of the mace. And the svara seems to be, what is the svara? So the Drisha says, the svara is because since our minhag is not to build coffins and sew shrouds on Yontif Sheni, therefore there's nothing to do at night. But the lundus seems to be a little sharper in the Hiskei Chuvas of Kutin. One second. Tes Zion. What does he say? In Sivkat and Tes Zion, he has a big Yesod. In Tes Vav, he has a whole deal about Yontif Sheni Rosh Hashanah and decides that really Yontif Sheni Rosh Hashanah seems everything else. What's his Yesod? His Yesod goes back to Tzvedinim. He says, you know what? On Yontif Sheni, it's Aninos, but not the Kavod HaMeis part of Aninos. Why? Because it's not Kavod HaMeis to be Mevatel Yontif. It's not Kavod HaMeis to override Yontif. It's only the Ein Sheyisa Masal. And therefore, Yontif Sheni, if there's someone else to do all the work and you have nothing to do, there's no aninos. Like, for example, the Chevra Kaddish is doing everything, there is no aninos. That is the Pesach Tshuva in Sifkatan. That is the Pesach Tshuva in Sifkatan Tezayin in the name of the Yeshuas Yaakov. And therefore, how does that apply to us? The way that applies to us is, one second, nowadays, most of our communities, our minhag is mela not to bury Yontif Sheni. Right? In some Hasidic communities, they do bury Yontif Sheni. I don't know what they do in Yerushalayim. I mean, it only come up once a year because they don't have Rosh Hashanah. In some Yiddish communities, they bury Yom Tov Sheni, but most communities don't bury Yom Tov Sheni anymore nowadays. What's the main reason most communities don't bury Yom Tov Sheni? The main reason is because nowadays we have refrigerated morgues, and the pressure is not the same as it once was. And you could go a couple days, and nothing terrible will happen. So nowadays you don't bury Yom Tov Sheni, and therefore halacha l'maisa, if you look in the modern Sfarim, they say, I'll read you from the article book, but all of the modern Sfarim say the same thing. It's just an obvious Svara, and it comes out of the Drisha also. He says someplace, in a community that does not permit burial in Yontef, the Onin does not keep any restrictions, okay, except for inconspicuous mourning practices, which we will get to. Basically, our communities in America, we don't have funerals in Yom Tov Sheni, and therefore, for us, what's the Svara? The Svara seems to be, let's just mention for a second, Yom Tes, the... Even though the Mishnah Berurah says before us, by the way, that even if you don't want to bury Yom Tov Sheni, you're still an Onin, because you could. But of course, that's in the old days when you could. Now you can't, but I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to put on the board that Tzvei Dinim, he says Beis Dinim, and therefore Kavod HaMeis does not apply on Yom Tov. And we're only left with Ein Mi Sheyisa Masa'o does apply. Only one of the two didn't apply, then therefore nafkamina, and yesh mi sheyisa masa'o, then he's not an onen, and that would also explain that it's day and night. At night is like yesh mi sheyisa masa'o, there's no masa at night in Yom Tov Sheni. Because, like, you can't do a regular malachos, you can only do the funeral, and we're not up to the funeral. But during the day, when there's a masa to be carried, then he's an onen. Lemaisa, what do we say? Lemaisa, here's two opinions. Lemaisa, the Yom Tov Sheni. Lemaisa, we assume that there's no aninos, because nowadays the minig is not to bury on Yom Tov Sheni. Even during Corona, I don't think they bury Yom Tov Sheni Ali Yisrael, although they did bury Ali Akum. I don't know, maybe they did, I'm not sure. Anyway, the Maisa Armin is not the very Yom Tov Sheni, so we have no Aninus and Shabbos Yom Tov. Bless your Mach Shalatom, which doesn't really happen.
I think it's just called them Tez Zion, you said? Not Yotes?
I meant Tez Zion, correct. Thank you. I'll also point out there's a discussion in Achronim that they have lots of other Nafkaminas. Like, for example, in towns where Yom Tov Sheni, the Chevra Kadisha wouldn't talk to you about burial until after Shul. Then you're not an Onin until after Shul. Clearly, Yom Tov Sheni is not like a low plug covered on mace like a regular day. It's only when there's a burden.
In Shemitic Mar, when you say you're allowed to go in Yom Sheni to be buried, was it praiseworthy? Was it something that is?
No, it was a chiyuv.
It's a chiyuv to be buried on
Yes. Sheni. Yes.
So why do we not do it?
Why do we not do it?
It's based on.
No, the chiyuv is based on the fact that you should bury as soon as possible. So because nowadays we say that it's better to bury with more cover that more people come to the funeral. People have to drive to get to the funeral, and therefore, and not to mention the fact that most towns have two reasons we don't bury Yom Tov Sheni. Number one, because everyone agrees that you can delay the burial for a mechubad funeral. And now they invented cars, you can't have a mechubad funeral in Yom Tov Sheni. Because no one's going to get there, it's not within walking distance. That's one reason. The second reason is because in a lot of places, like as soon as they got to America, I think it was Moshe Feinstein, if I'm not mistaken, said, no funerals in Yom Tov Sheni, because in America, a lot of people, everyone has non-foreign relatives, and they'll drive on Yom Tov Sheni to get there, even though they're not helping with the burial, and therefore it'll be lifted either. So they made like a minute against it. You can't make it zero nowadays, but so the mice have good reasons.
What's the reason that Jews say that it's only during the day and not the night?
So they don't say explicitly. The Drisha does. The Drisha says, because there's not so much work to do, the work is only during the day, which of course, assuming the Tzvei Dinim idea of the Yeshua's Yaakov, right?
No, why is there more work to do? Why is there no work to do at night?
Because in the Drisha's days, they started having minhagim lahachmir to not sow and build on Yontif Sheni, and therefore all there was to do was dig. You can't dig at night. Meaning in the days of the Gemara, they would start chopping, they would start sawing lumber and hammering nails and building coffins and cutting fabric and sewing shrouds, and then you could do that all night. By the days of the Drisha, they had a chumra of Yontif Sheni. The minhag is all we do is dig. And you can't dig at night.
Why is it from a regular night?
Because on a regular night, you can build coffins and sew shrouds.
Why did they make that gezeira?
What?
Why did
they I don't know. That's a good question. He doesn't say here.
Okay.
No. They didn't. No, they just made a gezeira that you're not allowed to do any. Basically, the gezeira was you can't do anything Yontif Sheni that you could have prepared beforehand. Like the gezeira was every Kibbutz Kedisha should have a spare coffin and shrouds in case they need to bury Yontif Sheni. You can't dig beforehand because you don't know where he's going, which grave it is. But they had a minimum, these are the Drisha, not to do any malach on Yontif Sheni for a mace except for the digging. And therefore, you can't do any malach at night because you can't dig at night. It's just not practical. So it just happened to work out that way. Okay. What else? There's some other things that I wanted to mention. First of all, at the end, Yeshom and Tamar Rabbah Muvagos are Lechabos V'yankos Mashim Adulfneim. Some people say even if the Rabbah Muvag has died, he's not Patzer Mitzvah, it's not full Dini Aminas, but he should be Usher and Basar V'yank until the Rebbe is buried. We do assume that way, right? As the Shach says, King Kosov and Mechaber, and some other places. That there is a slight aminus even for Rebbe. The Rabbah Muvah dies, don't eat meat and wine, you know, until he's buried. Let me just make sure I didn't leave too many things out. Do we have more room on the board? One second. Okay, one other detail we won't put on the board. There's a whole discussion in the first Pesach Tshuva. What about a stillborn baby? That we assume that there is no aninus and no avelus. What about a baby who dies within 30 days? We assume any baby who dies within 30 days is considered stillborn and is not considered a person for most halachic purposes, and there's no avelus, etc. But we're really not sure if a baby dies within 30 days. We're really not sure if it was a viable baby who died through coincidence, or was it really not viable and he's not really considered a person, although Aleinu. And therefore, there's no avelus, so we're making on avelus. But how about aninus? There's a big discussion here about aninus in the Rabbi Kiva Eger. He quotes that from the Shami, it sounds like there's no din onen, but that first the Moshe is mesopek, and the Pesach Tshuva also discusses this. Halacha l'maisa, you know, it's always good to be macher and baser v'yayin, but in terms of the ikra din, the mitzvos, etc., we assume that no, for any baby under 30 days, just like there's no avelos, there's no aninos. And the Yeshua Chaim Paskins that the Iker Hachra is that there's no aninus for any baby under 30 days old. What else did I want to discuss? We'll come back to that. There's an interesting discussion here about Sfiras HaOmer and Noda Behuda. This is a big chiddush in the Noda Behuda. It's a big lumdus. This supports the Rav. The Rav Shemendis Chiddush. But in Sivav in the Pesach Tshuva. What if he's going to miss a day's Sfiras HaOmer and ruin his bracha the next day?
Vav,
that's a Vav. Yeah, I don't know how to make that a Vav. He can say Sfiras HaOmer without a bracha. So that he won't ruin his mitzvah for the future days. That's a tremendous chiddush that the Pesach Tshuva Vav quotes from the Noda Behuda. I think this makes sense based on a chiddush of the Rav. The Rav said that the reason why the Mahag says you can't make a bracha for the day of Sfira is not because it's all one mitzvah, and if you miss a day, you've ruined the mitzvah. Each day is a separate mitzvah. It's just that it's only called counting if you continue your count. Think about it. If I count 1, 2, 3, 4, I count it to 4. If I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I count it to 7. If I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I count it to 10. But if I count 1, 2, 5, I haven't counted to 5. So it's only called counting if I've said all the steps until then. That's the chiddush of the rav. The reason if you miss a day, you can't make another bracha is not because you need all the days to be a mitzvah. It's just because it's only called counting if you have a retzah. Therefore, the Nebuchadnezzar makes a lot of sense. Let's say the guy's only on day 32. Let him count 32 and have in mind not for a mitzvah, just to count. He's not doing the mitzvah, he's just counting. But he can still say a bracha tomorrow night because he still kept his count going. Okay, that's a famous lumdus of the Rav. He has many, many rayas. One big nafkamina of the Rav is that therefore the tzmina of the Rav, don't worry about the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says he thinks women shouldn't count Sefiras HaOmer with the bracha. Why? Because they'll for sure forget a day someplace in the process, and then Igloim will start afraid that it won't be a mitzvah because you don't want to go 49 days, and it'll be a bracha l'atol l'mafreya. The Rav says, that doesn't make sense. Then men should take a chance on bracha l'atol l'mafreya. How about like teenage, you know, modern Orthodox kids who 99% will forget a day sometimes. They shouldn't say bracha the first day, so it'll be a bracha l'atol l'mafreya. The Rav says, no way, it's never bracha l'atol l'mafreya. Each day is its own mitzvah. If each day is no mitzvah, why, if you miss a day, can't you continue saying a bracha? Each day is no mitzvah as long as it's called counting. Once you miss a day, it's not called counting anymore. 1, 2, 3, 5 is not called counting. 1, 2, 3 was a mitzvah. And the reason you can't count 5 is actually you missed 4. It's just it's not called counting. And therefore, according to this, a woman can start with a bracha, and what if she forgets day 9? It wasn't a bracha that's all until 8. She just can't say bracha anymore. Okay, but we're not supposed to talk about Sefiras HaOmer now because we're not supposed to get distracted. But as I said, the Shimon Alfsos Geshmak Simon here, because it just has lumdus of every other mitzvah in the world. We haven't even gotten to the most Geshmak parts. Let's just check if there's anything else I wanted to mention. Okay, Purim, we won't get into now. You can look at Hilchos Purim. The Mishnah Berurah deals with it very nicely there.
Is it also allowed to take two Sefiras HaOmer?
What?
Is it also allowed in this case? For the
And that's a fascinating question. Would the Nebuchadnezzar allow a woman to keep her count going if she's not chayiv in the first place? His question is, she's not chayiv in the first place, not as much pressure. I'm really not sure. It's a good question. I'm really not sure. It could be not. There's another question that comes up here in Pesachei Tshuva Yudalid, which is a big, big, big machlokas. Which is a big machlokas. One second. What is the what is one other big machlokas? And then I think we're ready to go on. How about on Shabbos? There's no endless. So on Shabbos, he goes to shul. Say a guy's father dies. On Shabbos, he goes to shul, and he davens all the normal davenings. Agav, for Shlomo Zalman Paskind, it's brought down in the modern Sfarim, that he didn't even daven mincha in shul on Erev Shabbos. Why? Because it's not that Chalos Shabbos takes away aninus. It's that in Shabbos, it's not mutal lefanav. So you know what? 10 minutes before Shkia, it's also not mutal lefanav. There's nothing he can do then for the mace.
Unless he's going down to the wire trying to buy a plot or something. I'm saying in a normal case.
So Rav Shlomo Zalman says he can even go to shul on time and daven mincha. Because it's already not mutal lefanav in candle lighting. Like, what can you do for the mace after candle lighting? Come on.
You can't do mincha with the dough.
Correct. No, he only meant like mamash a few minutes before Shabbos. He didn't mean it's a heter mincha. He meant once it's Shabbos, for all practical purposes, he can daven mincha because it's not mutal lefanav. You don't need a chalos Shabbos. Just like at the end of Shabbos, if you're machshir l'atkom, he is an onen. Likewise, in the beginning of Shabbos, if he's machshir on, you know, that it's already, the rest of the world started Shabbos and no one wants to take his phone calls to buy a burial plot anymore, then, to call people and tell them when to come to the funeral and how to prepare hesed, because everyone's phone is off, then it's not mutal lefanav. That's where Shlomo Zalman's chiddush, but it's a good chiddush.
He's
so, can't, what?
He's chayiv in mincha.
Yeah, it's chayim mincha taka. Correct. It's mutter is chayim. So what's the fascinating discussion here? The fascinating discussion in the Pesachei Tshuva is he goes to Shulchan Shabbos, he daven Shulchan Shabbos. Should he say Kaddish for his father? This is not an Aninos question. It just happens to be here. Out Aninos, it's much of him to say Kaddish. It's much of him to say all the other parts of Davin's version didn't say Kaddish. What's the machlokus here? Right. Is there a toelis? Is there a toelis to say Kaddish for someone who's not yet buried? What's the purpose of Kaddish?
Kaddish Shem Shemayim Barabin?
That's what you think. What does everyone else think? What's the purpose of Kaddish? To get the Neshama out of Gehenna. Okay. Does that help before burial or only after burial? Right? Is the neshama go to Gehenna only after burial? Like, meanwhile, it's just been still on trial waiting, etc. I don't know any of these things. All I know is what it says in the poskim. But this is a big machlokas. Look at your Dalit. He says, the Nekudas Zakasav later on says, don't say Kaddish till after Kfura, not because of Aninos. On Shabbos, there's no Aninos, because there's no Toelas to Kaddish until after Kfura. But he says, he quotes the Tshuva's Eben Shoam, I'm not sure who that is, who says, like the Taz, that there is a Toelas to Kaddish even before Kfura. And likewise, Shara Frayim, and likewise, the Nachla Shiva, etc. Basically, it's a machlokes whether there's a Toelas to Kaddish before Kfura or not. Big Nafkamina, meaning lots of people die Friday afternoon and it's too late to bury them. Even Eretz Yisrael, where they rush. If a guy dies an hour before Shabbos, there's nothing you can do about it. So his kids daven normally all Shabbos, so they say Kaddish. So that's machlokas. You could have guessed, says no, there's no toelas yet. The Taz says, yes, there is a toelas. And it's a big machlokas, achronim. What is the minhag? And then in the end, they decide it depends on minhag. The minhag is like the Taz against the Nekudas HaKesef. The Gesher Chaim says, and the Bnei Shulchan says, the minhag is that there's toelas to Kaddish even before the Kfura. Maybe he's not a Gehenna yet until the Kfura. There's still a toelas to Kaddish that he should have some extra zechuyos, so maybe he won't even go to Gehenna in the first place, or he'll get out quicker. Therefore, the minhag, I've seen people in this matzav, the minhag is they say Kaddish even before burial, not on weekdays, because on weekdays, they're an owning, but on Shabbos they Kaddish even before burial, even before burial.
Why does the Shema call you burial?
Then these are questions for another not for me.
What's the name of the
pasuk? Who says the minhag? The Gesher Chaim? And the Badei HaShulchan, later on in Shinayim Vav, the Badei HaShulchan and Shinayim Vav, where this includes Gesher Chazar, the Gesher Chaim, and Hilchos Aninos.
So do you lose anything by saying Kaddish?
The question is just, there are Toelos.
We have Bracha Latala.
No, anyone's allowed to say Kaddish. You don't have to be an Ovel.
It's always a big problem. It's a big problem. You can't just say Kaddish left and right.
That's not much. What?
Why can't you be Kaddish if you're not about it?
And it's not the question, because the minhag is that you only say it for the neshama of the mace. So they're working within the minhag. You're right, there's not really a downside. By the way, in minhag Eretz Yisrael also, in America, they don't say Kaddish till after the burial at the funeral. Eretz Yisrael, they say Kaddish but quite a few times before the burial anyway, even at the funeral. So clearly, the minhag Eretz Yisrael is that there's the well as to Kaddish before the burial. Have you ever been to a funeral in Eretz Yisrael? I'm pretty sure in a funeral in America, it's been a long time, they only say Kaddish after they shovel the dirt into the grave. In Eretz Yisrael, they say Kaddish after the Hespedim, before they start walking, and then they stop a few times and they say Kaddish. Lots of Kaddishes before burial.
He says
a few things and Ruchana and Mirakasha. Yeah. Okay, we'll get to all that. Mirtza Hashem. Okay, so that's an important halacha l'maisa question. But again, on Shabbos and Shul, when Onanim comes to Shul on Shabbos, I've seen the minhag, like in these poskim, that I've always seen them say Kaddish.
Should he daven for the
Amad l'choranat? Or l'chora, he is no, he would not be priority for the Amad, because it's all controversial. And even if it's a toelis system, it's not as much of a toelis. So I would assume not. Not to mention the fact that an Ovel never dances in the Yom on Shabbos or on Yom Tov anyway. Okay, yeah, anyway, I would assume not. Okay, let us, there are some things I want to come back to, but let's continue for now. Beis, Misha Meislo Meis B'Shabbos, Yochav Matzei Shabbos B'lo Havdalah. Someone's relative dies on Shabbos. As soon as Shabbos ends, they're an one. They don't say Abdallah. So they're allowed to eat without Abdallah. Interestingly, that the Mishnah Brura in Siman Ayin Aleph suggests that maybe they should say Kriya Shema before Shabbos ends. I guess because we're in a town hold, you would say Kriya Shema after Ply. I don't know if that's the minhag, but that's what the Mishnah Brura says. But they don't say Havdalah. Why? Because the Chiv Havdalah doesn't kick in until after Shabbos. Like, you don't say Havdalah and Marv early. Those Chivim don't exist yet. So therefore, he eats without Havdalah v'lo yispalel, and he doesn't have Marv. V'lo b'boker going for it. He doesn't have Marv Sunday morning for the Kfur. Again, he's talking about, not nowadays, they would bury on Saturday night in Yerushalayim. But in other places, they won't bury until Sunday morning. So he skips Havdalah, skips Marv, skips Shabbos.
Why not have Marv 10 minutes before Shabbos ends?
That's the minute. Why not daven? No. Those shuls are daven 10 minutes before Shabbos ends, because Shabbos really ended. It's just not with all our chorus.
Okay.
But you're saying, why not use Marv not reply? Why not daven Marv after reply? So the post can write, because since the chi of Marv is really only after taste, and therefore, there's no inyan, and like if you're potter from the real zman, there's no inyan to do it in like the early makeup zman.
No, it's post, 10 minutes before Shabbos ends. It's post seis from our, potentially, but it's not Shabbos.
Ah, what you're saying is maybe it's just a chalos v'inu muta l'fana, because we have a chumrah of Tosefa Shabbos. And that is a great question. The postman don't say that, but it's a fascinating question. Okay, I'm not sure. It's a good question. In any case, let's say he buries in the morning, still talking shachris, he daven shachris. This is, right, there's no tashlumen for Ma'ariv. Anyone who's been a drichen Torah Shraga, say to me, why, what do you mean he only daven shachris? Don't you know if you sleep through one tefillah, you make it up for the next tefillah? Right? So he says, no. It's not like someone who forgot to daven Ma'ariv, who then daven double chakras. If you forget to daven Ma'ariv, you have to daven double chakras. If you make a mistake and don't daven Ma'ariv, you have to daven, if you are forced not to daven Ma'ariv, you have to daven double chakras. But if you're potter for Ma'ariv, you don't have to daven double chakras. If a guy converts early in the morning, he doesn't have to make up last night's Ma'ariv because he was a guy, he was potter. Right? It's only if you're chayav but couldn't do it. If you're a potter, then you're a potter. You don't have to dash lumen when you're a potter. So he says, given the way, lo yechayav lispalel.
If you were a potter then, you're not a potter now.
Yes, but if you're a potter for Ma'ariv, then you don't have to do tashlumen for Ma'ariv.
But it's not that a Ma'ariv has a patur, and it's that you are a potter from doing that.
I know.
Now that the patur is gone.
No, again, if someone buries in the middle of the night, like in Yerushalayim, they bury midnight, Matzei Shabbos, then of course he has a Ma'ariv then. Because now he's chayav. But if they bury in the morning, then his hungry Ma'ariv is over. It's now only tashlumen time for Ma'ariv. There's no chiyuv tashlumen if you weren't chayav.
But that is, don't we view tashlumen as like this non-continuum?
Because that's exactly the main lumdus of this simon. Zachariah, I need your help. Basically, what's the principle of this simon? When this man continues, then you have to daven. When this man doesn't continue, it's pure tashlumen, then you're not chayav to mashlum when you're a potter. And now we have a chakir at every single mitzvah in the Torah. Whenever there's a mitzvah you can do now, and if not later, is it that the Zman continues, or is it that the Zman is over, there's Tashlumen, and this is the famous machlokes in the Russian Rami Rutenberg about?
Should we ask?
No, you could just look in the next line.
Make up with them?
About Abdullah! How about Abdullah Sunday morning? Does the Zman, I mean, the Zman of Ma'ariv, Aryeh will admit, the Zman of Ma'ariv doesn't continue Sunday morning. That's ridiculous. Have the Zman of Ma'ariv go into the morning. It's not Erev. It's Shachar. But the Zman of, how long can you say Havdalah, Michal?
Tuesday.
Till Tuesday, Shkia. Is that the Zman of Havdalah continues 3 days? Yeah, obviously it's better to do it right away. The Zman, or no, the Zman of Havdalah is Matzei Shabbos.
It's not.
It's just that there's makeup time on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
It's not makeup time. If someone's...
That's my clue. In the rest of my Rami Rutenberg. You can say whatever you want and you'll have someone on your side. Right? The amazing. That's why it's good to be Jewish. Because, like, you know, whatever you say, there's some Rishon or Achron on your side. You know, unless you're really dumb. Or maybe you have to be really smart to say something that, like, is wrong. I'll leave it to everyone. I don't know. In any case, that's the famous Chakira of the Rush versus the Maram in Wittenberg. What did the Maram in Wittenberg say? The Maram in Wittenberg said, the Maram in Wittenberg says, the Zman of Havdalah is till Tuesday. Since the Zman of Havdalah is till Tuesday, then he asked of Havdalah. The Rush says, no, that's ridiculous. Maram is his Rebbe, but he still told him it's ridiculous. The Rush says, no, the Zman of Havdalah is Saturday night. Once it's Sunday morning, that's when we make up time for Havdalah. And if you're a potter in the Zman, you're a potter from Tashlumin. Basically, Aminos is a great nafgamina for every single mitzvah that has a Yochachilo Zman and the Eved Zman, when it's a continued Zman, and when it is a when it's a continued Zman, and when it is a Tashlumin.
According to the Rosh, if someone's buried at 2 in the morning, they're potter from Kriyat Shema for the night, and according to Maharam Rosh, where would it be? 5?
No, everyone agrees the Iker Zman is all night.
The Chatos is the Iker Zman.
No, that's only Xer Drabanan. The Rosh, the Iker Zman is all night. Yeah, it's a great nafkamina, right? So here is basically Sif Beis is all about. What is Sif Beis about? Like you got the board, right?
Yeah.
What is Sif Beis all about? Is about if you have the Hemshech Zman HaMitzvah, then he's Chayav after Kura because it's still the Zman of the Mitzvah. But if the Zman HaMitzvah ended and it's Zman Tashlumin, then he's Potter after Kura because since he was Potter originally, there's no need to be Mashlim. What mitzvah does this come up? Number one, Tefillah. And Tefillah is Pasha. We call it Tashlumin. It's obviously not the Zman. So that's Pasha. He's Potter. He doesn't have to make up Tefillahs. We'll add a caveat in a, can I go on a little bit of a tangent? Once we get to tefillah, we have this very geshmak machlokas between, on the side here, between the Taz and the Nekudas HaKesef. Basically, it's the Drisha and the Nekudas HaKesef versus the Taz. What about a guy who is Osek Mitzarchei Tzibur and misdavening? Right, he had to go do shtaglonos by the local governor, or whatever, to plead the case of the Jewish community, and he had to be there the whole time. He couldn't take a break. He couldn't say, "Oh, can I take a break for mincha?" No, he had to do what he's doing. Right, he was busy helping the Jewish community, and he missed mincha. Does he have to do tashlumin or not? So it's a tangent. Osei B'tzarchei Tzibur, says the Drisha, he doesn't have to do Tashlumin. Says the Taz, that's crazy. He was Chayiv Dam Mincha, he was just an honest because he was stuck with his politics. So he has to do Tashlumin. So why does the Drisha think he doesn't have to do Tashlumin? Answer the Nekudas HaKesef. Because this guy is trying to help the Jewish community. What's he doing?
Who's he doing a mitzvah?
He's doing a mitzvah. Osek mitzvah, pater and a mitzvah. What would this be an example? Ah, a great example would be like, how about a chayalim, right? Melchemes mitzvah. A chayal misses mincha. Does he have to do tashlumin? He misses mincha because he's on shmirah. Does he have to do tashlumin? So the Taz might say, yeah, you have to do tashlumin. Come on, you were anos. I understand why you missed mincha. I wouldn't have wanted you to daven because then someone might attack us. But you have to make it up. The Drisha and the Shach say, no, he was osek mitzvah. In what case do you have to make up? If you're honest for non-mitzvah reasons, let's say a guy has to save his money. Okay, it's honest, all his money, he might use all his money, he has to save his money, it's not a mitzvah. Let's say a guy is sick and can't daven. So he's sick, he's honest, it's not his fault, but it's not a mitzvah. If it's not your fault, but it's not a mitzvah, you have to make it up. But if the reason you're davening is because you're busy doing a mitzvah, then you don't have to make it up because you were potter in the first place. Osek b'mitzvah is not an excused absence. Osei b'mitzvah is potter min mitzvah. It's a patur gomer like onei. And we paskin like the Shach and the Drisha, someone who's osei b'mitzvah and misses davening doesn't have to touch shlumen because they weren't onus. Like the Taz, they were potter. That's how we paskin. But there's an important caveat which applies both to Oneh and to Osig Mitzvah and the Dog of Mervava. Here, not everyone agrees with him. But the Dog of Mervava has an important caveat. It's also mentioned in the Pesach Tshuva, who brings other opinions as well. In Sifkatan, he quotes the Dog of Mervava someplace, no? Yes, Sifkat Yudches, he quotes a machlokas about this. It says, what if a guy only became an Onein at 3 in the afternoon? Or became Osek Mitzvah at 3 in the afternoon? So why didn't he daven Minchar before 3 in the afternoon? Because he didn't know he'd become an Onein. He didn't know he would have to go do an Osek Mitzvah. Obviously, if someone knows they're not real daven later, they should daven now, but he didn't know. Meaning, it's not his fault he didn't daven at 1 o'clock or 2 in the afternoon, but from 3 in the afternoon and on, he was an Onein or he was an Osek Mitzvah. Does he have to do Tashlumin?
Oh, yes.
Said the Dog of Mervava, yes, why? From 3 and on, he was putter. But until 3 o'clock, he was only an Ones. What was the Ones? The Ones was he didn't know the fact that something would come up later, and therefore, since the Chiyuv was Chal in the beginning, he's only putter from 3 and on. Now, that's a big machlokas. Right, this ties into the sugya of Ones Yom Achron from Maseches beginning of Ksubas and other places. Anyone remembers from Lamdas? Is it really true? And it might be a difference in different tefilos. That's what's interesting because Chachuv discussed. Maybe Mincha, you're really only chayav right before Shkia. Everything else is just like doing it early, as opposed to Shachris, which you're really chayav at the beginning. Anyway, Lamaisa we paskin like the Dog of Mervava. So two interesting points about tefila. Two interesting points. That come up here as total tangents. Number one is Oseg Bitsarchin Sibor. Says the Taz, it's like Anos, but says the Drisha and the Nekudas HaKesef, it's Potter, it's a Ptor. And number two is the Dog of Mervava, who is in the Pesach Tshuva. It's also in the Dog of Mervava, in the Otzer Mefarshim, if you have this one with an Otzer Mefarshim, but it's also in the Pesach Tshuva, Yudches, who says, if he only became potter, be'entza hazman, chayav, he's chayav tashlumen, because even though he had a p'tur gummer in the second half of this man, but the first half of this man was only an onus. Now, of course, that would only be an afkamina if the burial is pretty quick, meaning if his relative died at 3 p.m. and then buried in the middle of the night, he'd have to amarav twice and make up for mincha. If he doesn't bury until the next day, then there's no afkamina anyway, because it's too late to tashlum, and then afkamina is only theoretically consented. Okay, what are some other cases that come up? And now, but what about every other issue? What about Havdalah? Havdalah says the Rosh, says the Maharam, it's a Hemshech of the Zman. But says the Rosh, it's Tashlumen. And we paskin like the Maharam. Where else does this come up in the Achronim? So, for example, I'll go to some earlier Pesach Tshuvas. Oh, we discussed this a little from a different angle. Pesach Tshuva Hey. What if he ate while he was an Onein and he was still full after the burial? Does he have to bench? Right, remember that Chakira? Who was in my morning cheer for that Chakira? Do we say the Maisa Achila is Machai of benching and an hour later it's only Tashlumen? Or do we say, no, the svi in the stomach is Machayev benching, and an hour later, there's still the original Machayev. So how about Birkas HaMazon? Right, if he's still full. So that is a big machlokas, and the Pesach Tshuva Hey quotes from the Chachmas Adam and the Nesivos, not a Nesivos in a sitter, but this is a refer. He says Chayev. Why? Because he's taking the time of Chakir, not the Maisa Achilas Machayev, and later is just his Tashlumen. No, the Svi in the stomach is Machayev. And therefore, if he's still full in his stomach, if he's already hungry again in his stomach, then obviously. But if he's still full in his stomach after burial, then he still has to bench. Here's another great Nafkamina. One second.
Why isn't isn't it just achila versus sfiya as opposed to this for here?
It's just another. It's what underlies this chakira. Just what underlies this hechitimtzi of this chakira. Give me a second. I just wrote down a note here someplace. The habit asher yatzar. What if he still doesn't need to go? He goes to the bathroom, then buries his mace, and he doesn't need to go. So do we say the feeling of relief is mechayev asher yatzar, still the zman? Or no, it's only the going to the bathroom is mechayev asher yatzar. Interestingly, in that same Pesachei Tshuvas of Katan Hay, he quoted from the Nesivos again, and then he says asher yatzar. No, the chiyuv is the it's still the original chiyuv. The original chiyuv is just say a bracha sometime when you feel relief. This is the Pesachei Tshuvas of Katan Hay, but the Gesher HaChaim disagrees. The Gesher HaChaim agrees about Birkas HaMazon, but says the Gesher HaChaim, no. All right, he quotes the Birka Yosef, actually. Says the Birka Yosef. It's the Birka Yosef here. He says, Potter, no, it's going to the bath that's Mechayiv you. Saying an hour later is only Tashlumen. Okay, Halachal Maisa, the Gesher HaChaim is not Machriya, but Tzachim Brachal HaHakel, and we would say, now, benching, I understand. If your stomach's full, you still have an Ikrisman of benching. But going to the bathroom, if you went to the bathroom an hour ago, you missed the Ikrisman. It's only the Tashlumen time now. Give me a second. Where else did this come up? How about Birkas HaShachar? Whoa, Birkas HaShachar. Interesting question. Not Birkas HaShachar and he buries at night. Birkas HaShachar, he buries during the day. Is the Mechayev Birkas HaShachar the morning? Like when you wake up your Chayev? And each one is its own thing, right? When you put on your shoes, when you get out of bed, when you walk, when you etc. Or, right, is it only the morning that's Mechayev Birkas HaShachar or no? Doing this any day is Mechayev. Is the Mechayev Birkas HaShachar the morning, or is the Mechayev Birkas HaShachar all day long? When is the Iker Mechayev? So, fascinatingly, that's discussed in Pesachei Tshuva Yud Zayin, who says that you don't say Birkas HaShachar. No, too late for Birkas HaShachar. The Gesher Chaim says, and it's also Mishnah Berurah and Ayin Aleph, except what about Birkas HaShachar? Nope, too late. The real Mechayim is waking up in the morning. Saying Birkas HaShachar in your lunch break at work is only Tashlumen. That's not the Ikar Mechayev, and that is the Pesachei Tshuva Yud Zayin. Except, interestingly, are any of the Birkas HaShachar not about waking up in the morning, but just about life? Like just about existence? How about Shalom Asani? What is Shalom? I understand. No sin sechim vino hafin yom ve laila and matar assumes okay, you have to do with getting up. At 11 a.m. it's only Tashlumen. Shalom Asani good is not to do with getting up. It's just something you say once a day because who knows? There's a lot of things you say once a day. Therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah in the Gesher HaChaim, I think it's the Mishnah Berurah in Ayin Aleph, if I'm not mistaken. I thought it was the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Ayin Aleph. Yep, Shalom Asani. It's a Mishnah Berurah in Ayin Aleph, Dalet. But how about Shalom Asani that you're Chayav? Why? Because it makes sense. The Ikrisman is the whole day. There's no difference in the morning and afternoon for Shalom Asani. Matar Surim, you only wake up from sleep and are able to move in the morning. But Shalom Asani Goy is all day long. How about Birkas HaTorah?
Is that
part of
all those Shalom
Asani? Yeah, the three Shalom Asanis. That's why I just said Shalom Asani. All three Shalom Asanis go together. How about Birkas HaTorah? Interesting question, no? So says the Mishnah Berurah. It's actually a big machlokas about Birkas HaTorah. It is a big machlokas, but...
You didn't learn until then, right?
What?
You didn't learn until then.
Correct. But Birkas HaTorah doesn't really have to do with the morning. Just all day when you learn Torah. And therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, when it comes to Birkas HaTorah, you should also make that up, even though it looks like Shah. It looks like part of Brichas Shachar, but really no, it has nothing to do with the morning, because that Torah is not morning oriented. What other discussions might come up here? Basically, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, that Sivkat Mishnah Berurah, he goes through everything. I'm probably forgetting a lot of things. Let's just mention it. What does he start with saying here? He says, okay, if you were eating, you wash it out of bracha, fine, et cetera, et cetera. We're skipping some things we'll get back to. Birkas HaShachar, he quotes this really Magen Avraham, who says, you shouldn't say Birkas HaShachar is only Tashlumen. That's really Magen Avraham. V'yesh Cholkin Olav, okay, he quotes Machlokes, Safek Brachos L'Hakel, Sefer Birkas HaTorah, and Shalos Ani, v'chulei. Birkas Kriya Shema, Birkas Kriya Shema, whatever, we all know, Minhag, B'nai Brak, and 5 pounds nowadays is that almost the Iker's month. They think the Iker's month for Birkas Krishna is Tilchatzos, so we're not going to mess with that for some strange reason. I mean, you can look there for more details, but I think we got most of them. It's another interesting one. Here's another interesting one from the. I'll just mention some from the Pnei Baruch says this. I don't know if it's in the Mishnah Berurah there. I don't remember if it's seeing this in the Mishnah Berurah. How about the third paragraph of Kriya Shema? This has to do with alumnus of the Rav in the first Yartzei Shia, right? Third paragraph of Kriya Shema, is that Bikumecha or is that all day? Pashtus is, the man to score in Seiskam Yartzei Shia, call Yimechayecha. The rabbis halilos that the Iker's man is all day. So let's say he misses man Kriya Shema. Doesn't make up. I mean, no one makes up Kriya Shema anyway. There's not even a havmina, but he still say the third paragraph of Shema. That Iker's man is all day. And one of that's in the Pnei Baruch here, which is the old art scroll book. And one other interesting thing, and then we will move on, is something that the Geshur Chaim discusses. How about the bracha on seeing the cemetery? Let's say he hadn't been in the cemetery for 30 days. Anyone know the bracha on cemeteries? When you see a Jewish cemetery for the first time in 30 days, what do you say? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Chalash Asher Yatzar, not Asher Yatzar, the other one, or the one from weddings. Asher Yatzar Eschem Badin, V'zan Chokel Eschem Badin, V'imis Eschem Badin, V'yodeh Eschem Lechem Badin, V'hu Asid Lach Yoschem Badin, Baruch Atah Hashem Echayam Eisen. There's a bracha on seeing Jewish cemetery. So, obviously he didn't say the bracha on the way into the cemetery because he is an Oni. How about after the burial? We paskin no. That's tashlumen. The Iker's man is when you see it. After is tashlumen. So let's just add a few things.
Even from the outside?
What?
Even from the outside?
Yeah. No, even from the outside. If you're on, again, if you're on the outside, you're on the bus, you're passing our menuchos, and you see the graves, and you haven't seen graves for 30 days, then you say the bracha. What? Yeah, it's a real bracha.
Do people say this?
Okay. There's a big sign on the entrance to every Jewish cemetery with the brachas that people can say, because obviously people don't know it by heart. Next time you go to a cemetery, look for a big sign by the door, and you'll see that bracha.
But he says the name of the cemetery.
There's another one. No, Pashit. Everyone says that bracha, I think. Except for rabbis never say that bracha, because they go to the cemetery every 3 days, right? And I'm saying, people don't go too often. Unfortunately, there were a few months there where I was at the cemetery way too often. I think by now it's probably been a month. So I hope I don't have to go soon. But if I do, then I would say that bracha. People take the bus to Tel Aviv, I think, see out the window every day, so they never say that bracha. Like people commute to Tel Aviv. Because they always see the cemetery.
Is that why? I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
To see it, you have to, like,
you have to see it. You just have to see it. You don't have to be there for a funeral. You have to see it. Like the Amagado. Someone who lives in Tel Aviv also never says a bracha on the Mediterranean Sea. They see it every day when they wake up and look out their window. And people who live next to the Gadol Hador never say the bracha on the Gadol Hador. Okay, the Seder. Because you see them all the time. Weiter.
That's the Menachot Brus.
What else? Okay. Oh, what did I want to just add to this? I want to add to this that, you know, we'll add to this plus third paragraph of Shema, because the Iker's man is all day long. I know the Rav has alumned us that maybe know it's really part of Kriya Shema, but, and he has rayas for that, but Lemaisa, we're not making it that way. And here, I would just add, plus, okay, Asher Yatzar Eschem Badin. Hold on. I think we're back on. Yeah. Okay. We have a lot to do. We're both saying. Sif Gimel. Makom shenoagin shekasofim yuchod motzos hamesh l'achshenis askwa krovim tzorchei kfurim serulahem behen yikmeru mishemasru behen yikmeru. A place where they have what's called a chevra kadisha. Special guys who carry the mace, and after the krovim do whatever they need to do, they give them over to these guys, and they bury him. Right? Chevra kadisha. As soon as you give it to the chevra kadisha, mutar makrovim b'basar yayin. The krovim can have basar yayin, and obviously kol shekein the mafarshim say are chayiv in mitzvos. I feel a kodesh shishuim abayis shishuim in the mitzvos. Even if he's still in the house, the father dies and he's vamish in the house, but the chevra kadisha came and said, "We got it from here." Then the rest of the family is not owning him anymore because it's not mutzal lefanav. It's given over to the chevra kadisha. This is super controversial. Why is this super controversial? It's not. And points out the shach here in Yud Gimel. They don't become avelim. Avelus doesn't start till after the kfura. They're neither. It's neither an inus nor avelus. He's not an onin or an avel. He's just an in between. He's a nothing. You can have a nothing state in between aninus and avelus if you give it to the chevra kadisha. Why is this so controversial? It doesn't look so controversial. It's an old rishonim. It's controversial because of the Nodi Huda and the Misfei Chuvas Kut and Chaf Aleph. Right, basically, what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with here the very difficult question of the Geder of Mutal Lefanov. What's the Geder of Mutal Lefanov? Part of that was discussed in Sif Aleph, right? Sif Aleph, we discussed Shabbos V'yontov. The Yom Tov, we have it right here. Right? Sif Beis, I know we have to go back to Sif Aleph a little. What about Chevra Kadisha? You gave over the Chevra Kadisha. So now, you're going to say, but that's not our practice. I've been to lots of places, and they always call the Chevra Kadisha 5 minutes after he dies, and yet they still have aninos. So what's pshat? So pshat is the Nodu Yehuda and the Pesachei Tshuva. Says the Nodu Yehuda and the Pesachei Tshuva Chaf Aleph. He quotes, first of all, he says, Pashut, that they're chayiv in mitzvos. Od Kasav Shan, that's only if the Chevra Kadisha buries without the relatives. This is referring to a town where you gave the body of the Chevra Kadisha, and the Chevra Kadisha says, we got it from here, you stay home. That's, like in the days of Corona. Right? That is when they're not an onin anymore. But nowadays, where the krovim go to the funeral, what happens? You give the body to the chevra kadisha, and they say, we'll meet you at the funeral, and you rejoin the body at the funeral. When the krovim go to the funeral, it's still mutal fanav. They're still going to go to the funeral. And therefore, they're still an onin. And that's our midhug. This is super controversial. The Chachmas Adam disagrees with this. The Mishnah Brura doesn't want to be summoned for this. And Ayin Aleph, this is super duper controversial. What if Chevra Kadisha, Mesira L'Chevra Kadisha is Mafkia Aninus? What if the relatives plan to attend the burial? Then that's an achlos between the Nodri Yehuda and the Chachmas Adam says aninus, and the Chachmas Adam says no aninus. Says the Mishnah Brura, he says, well, you should be machmir do mitzvos, because like who knows who's correct, but our minhag is like the Nodri Yehuda. A lot of achronim say you should be machmir both ways. No one says you should eat and drink wine, but l'maisa our minhag is like the Nodri Yehuda. As long as the relatives are going to the funeral,
Even if they gave over the body to Chevron Kadisha, they don't have to do what they used to do in the old days. They're not building the coffin. They're not sewing the shroud. They're not washing the body. They're not even carrying the body until they get to the funeral. Then maybe they will. But nonetheless, since they're still involved in the process, that's still called mutal funav. Again, there's a gazillion achronim against the Noda Behuda, but the Menaga Olam is very, very strong, like the Noda Behuda. The strong Menaga Olam, like the Noda Behuda, even though, again, the Mishnah Berurah and the Gesher Chaim both say, you should do mitzvos, because maybe the Noda Behuda is wrong. But nonetheless, the strong Menaga Olam, like the Noda Behuda. What's the difference between Acherim Oskim and the Chevron Kadisha? The difference is Acherim Oskim means other family members. Other family members, the chiyuv is still in the family. It's just that one member does and the other member sits around. But over here, the whole family is public. Correct. Meaning, one thing is very clear from Sif Aleph.
This is Sif Gimel, by the way.
Thank you. Sif Aleph, if some relatives do all the work, then that's not a tour for the other relatives. That's just like, oh, well, someone does all the work for me. But I'm still, it's still mutal afanav. It's mutal to all of them. It's called mutal lefanav for everyone. Okay, what's another issue? Sif Gimel in the Ramah. What if it's mutal lefanav, but you don't really, what's the case in the Ramah? Mokum should note something earlier. You're carrying the mace on a far journey, right? You know, like people want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael in the old days. Big journey. Guy dies in Iraq, wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, you got to go for, in your horse-drawn wagon for 2 days. In Mokum Karav, who have a key mutal lefanav. If it's a Makom Karov, that's called Mutal Funav. Basically, I'm on the van with the mace. If it's a Makom Karov, that's still Mutal, I'm just sitting on the van. Doesn't matter, it's Mutal Funav, because it's such a short break, it's still considered part of my Esek. But if it's far, like 2 days, then that's such a long break where you're not doing anything, that it's Mafkiya the Mutal Funav. So what about transit? So if it is a long journey is not mutal lefanav. Even though physically it's right there, it's not mutal lefanav because I'm not doing anything. I'm just traveling. But if it's a short journey, then he's still, that's still called mutal lefanav. Nowadays, all of our journeys are short or long.
Short.
No one travels for 2 days. Right? You go on the plane to Eretz Yisrael, it's half a day. So, but this is super duper controversial. Why is it super duper controversial? Because there's one difference in the way they transported the body and planes. What's the difference in the Ramah's matter of carrying the body and planes? What about a short plane ride? Why might a plane ride be different from a horse and buggy? The body's in the cargo hold and you have no access to it. There are Ramah's days, at least the body was near you. Here, the body's in the cargo hold, it's cut off. Now, in the Ramah's days, you're just traveling in the cart. But is it different or not is super duper controversy. Super duper controversy. For example, if you look in the Art Scroll book, he says, plane. If you're on the plane with the body, then he says, Aninus on a plane. Dispute among poskim. Some authorities rule that if you're not doing anything on the plane, which you're usually not, then you're not an onane. Other people say you are an onane. What does he quote here? He quotes Rosh Shlomo Zalman, said Rosh Shlomo Zalman was very big on when you're not doing anything, you're not an onane. He even said, and I'm not sure that we should practice, he said, you say Kriyas Shema Shalamita, because once you're already about to fall asleep, you can't do anything for the mace. I didn't seem that halacha would make such fine distinctions, but what do I know? Anyway, so he quotes Rosh Shlomo Zalman, says that no. If you're on a plane, then there's nothing you can do because it's in the cargo hold. But then he quotes Rabbi Yashiv, who said, nope, you're still on the plane, and the Shevet Alevi, he says, you're still on the plane, and therefore, since it's a short break, it's just b'chlal your asek.
It's not like Shabbos off or Yontif off or like a two-day journey. A short break is still bechlal your asek. So there he says it is a machlokas. He says Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Ovadia. He quotes. What does he quote here? He quotes Rav Ovadia and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says he's not a no name. While he quotes Rav Yashiv and the Shevet Halevi, who says the person still is an onain. Halacha l'maisa, he for sure shouldn't eat the meat in the airline meal. No, bus of a yayin, why be mekel? The nafkamina is more brachos and davening, etc. So there are different minhagim out there. Somebody will say daven. After all, maybe Rashi's right, and onain can always optionally daven. And if not, maybe Rav Shlomo Zalman's right. The minhag olam is like Rav Yashiv, is that they don't daven and say brachos on the plane. This is the minhag olam. Okay, it's hard to say who's right, but the minhag olam is like Rav Yashiv or Shlomo Zalman. I don't know how my neighbor passes.
Customary.
Yeah, the minhag olam is, even though he says that you could do either way, the minhag olam everywhere I've seen, whether rabbis or non-rabbis, etc., is that they say we're still an onay, which makes sense, even though our Muz days, so fine. So there's no cargo hold on the horse and buggy, but still, what are you going to do? I guess you're watching to make sure the coffin doesn't fall off. Okay.
You can't ask questions on a Misa, but I think my father told me once that he had a friend who, right next to him on the plane, was a coffin. Like, on the...
That's weird. Maybe he meant he had a friend who was a Russian. He's considered like that. Okay, Viter. Other issues of what's considered to be Muta Lefanav, Sif Dalet. Misha Meisbit Fisa. Okay, it's getting late. Uh-oh. Misha Meisbit Fisa Volonita Lekvura Lochal Akrov Maninos. Someone who dies in jail and they won't let you bury him. Not modern day American jails. But in the old days, like the guy was in jail, they wouldn't let you bury him. They're not an Avel in law, if they haven't given up on burying him, they're still hoping that they'll change their mind, hoping they can bribe him. They're not an Avel, but they're not an Onyx. There's nothing they can do. The body's in jail. Chain Im, right? Anyone remember which famous Rishon this happened to? The Maharam in Rutenberg. Likewise, this is important. If the relative is in jail, he's not an onyx. It's not muta lefanav, because he physically is incarcerated. This would also apply, let's say the relative's like disabled in a nursing home. Right? The 96-year-old sister of the Niftar is in a nursing home and, you know, can't get out of her room. So she is not an onain because, like, she's in jail. She physically cannot do anything. She's just exempt from helping with the mace. Likewise, someone who died in an accident, in the river, on the road, etc. And they haven't given up that the police will find the body. But there's nothing they can do. There is no body. Then they're not an onain. So there's no body to look upon. But they're also not an avel, because the rule for an avel is you're only an avel after either you bury or you give up on burying. And neither of those happened yet. Okay, so that's some other examples. Sif Dalid, let's continue this too. Sif Dalid, the mace in jail, there's no aninus. Or the karov in jail is not an onain. And then you'd have to figure out when this applies. The karov is in jail. There is no aninus. Again, this would apply in a lot of the COVID times. Right? Let's say you weren't allowed to leave your house, you couldn't do anything, funeral, etc. It wasn't just muscle. I mean, then also you gave to the Chevra Kadisha. It's pretty obvious. Here's even without the Chevra Kadisha. Even if they haven't yet given to the Chevra Kadisha, the relative in jail is not an onain. He's not an avel, he's not an onim. He's in between. Or the person who's, in bed in a nursing home, even if they're totally lucid and do all the no shots backwards and forwards, but if they can't move around and, they're not necessary for making arrangements, etc., then they're not an onim. Okay, the Pesach Tshuva discusses here. What about places with an gzeira that you couldn't bury for 48 hours? Because they were afraid people might mistakenly think someone's dead and alive and bury them alive. What? And Moses Mendelssohn, etc. The famous Indian. Anyway, the Maisa there, he says they're still an onain because they have a lot of planning to do then.
So Kavod HaMeis, how does that apply, right?
Kavod HaMeis only applies with Muta Lefanav. That's the Chiddush. Kavanais only applies into halos mutal lefanav. It's not a low plug. It's only halos mutal lefanav. And then he also discusses what about places where.
So mutal lefanav. A person in nursing home, person in prison who can make phone calls.
So if they can make phone calls and take care of things, then it's mutal lefanav. So it might depend. Get in the nursing home, you know, if they're totally with it and on top of things or not. Okay, there's also discussion, which they chew your chafdeis about places where the minig was Erev Shabbos, like you don't bury an hour before Shabbos or 2 hours before Shabbos or wherever, and there's nothing to do, like everything's closed. So he also brings machlokes there. That's called mutal lefanav. That ties into our early discussion of mincha and Erev Shabbos from Shlomo Zalman. Before we continue, we just have to fill in some old details from Sif Aleph. What were some details from Sif Aleph? What if you're in a different town? What if you're in a different town? Is that called mutal lefanav?
Yes.
How do we know?
Ah,
even in a different town, it's still called mutal lefanav. What about Sif Aleph? Be'ir Acheres is called mutal lefanav. But what if it's Be'ir Acheres and other relatives in the city, the Mesa, are taking care of it? Who did this happen to? What if someone's relative dies in a different city and the relatives in the other city are taking care of everything? You combine other relatives taking care of it and a different city. Rina Tam's sister died, the mother of who? Who's Rina Tam's most famous nephew? Who's Rina Tam's most famous nephew?
The Ri.
The Ri, right? Remember? The Ri is Rina Tam's nephew.
Tosos, Rina Tam Ri. The Ri.
So the Ri's mother died. And Rina Tam was in a different town. And ate meat and drink wine, said, I'm not an oneg. I'm in a different town. Her husband's going to marry her. And the Rush said, Rabbi Natan is dead wrong. He was an oneg. So that's a big machlokas. That's a tremendous machlokas. What about a, that's the shach in Sifkatan, hey, brings a machlokas. What about Ir Acheres? The Yesh Oskim, the Ir Shemesbo. People in the city where you died are taking care of everything. Someone's in Israel, the relative dies in America, the American relatives take care of everything. Is he an Oni? That is Machlokas. Rabbi Utan says he's not an Oni. And the Rush says he is an Oni. The Mechaber agrees with the Rush. The Shach quotes the Bach, who agrees with the Vayner Tam. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Nun Hey seems to agree with the Rush. Rov Achronim, Mishnah Berurah, Nun Hey Sifkatan Chafdalid, Agam Orchain, that's not the Siman of this. Seems pretty clearly to agree with the Rush. This is very controversial, and this ties into the famous machlokas between. But this is super controversial. This ties into the famous machlokas between the Netziv and Rav Rafal Shapira. Right? What was the relationship between them? Rav Rafal Shapira is the Netziv's son-in-law. And what happened? The Netziv says, we pass like the Rush. Therefore, everyone's an Onay no matter where they are, and they invented the telegraph. Even if you get a telegraph, you're an Onay until burial. Rafal Shapira said, no way. That was only in Vayner Tam's days when he was in the next town, was going to the funeral. He was in the next town, he was going to the funeral, it was a 10-minute a horse ride away. You know, if it was 100 miles away, Vayner Tam would never find out. Right? But if it's far or too far away, then you're not a hakhtagami mutalfana. The chinish of the Rush is only in the next town, but not if you're too very far away. So what happened? The Netziv died and he sent a telegraph to his daughter saying your father died. According to her father, according to the mace, she was an oneg because her father died in another town. It was too far away. But according to her husband, she was not an oneg. Rafal Shapira said she was not an oneg. Okay? I don't know a clear Masorah, but I think she listened to her husband.
which makes sense. That's a Mefurish Gemara Kedushin. Anyway, so that's a famous halachos in the Timra of Paul Shapiro. And Paul Shapiro says, even according to the Rush, we paskin seemingly, let's assume we paskin like the Rush, but then you get another machlokas. What's the other machlokas? Machlokas is the Netziv versus Rebbe Fal Shapira. What if you're far away? What if you're too far away? You're not in the next town over. Your mom is far away. And the Netziv says, even. What? Why is it? Because Rebbe Natan was so mutalafanav. You know, he was a 10-minute drive, 10-minute horse ride away. He was mutalafanav. He was just relying on his brother-in-law. But it was mutalafanav. But if you get a telegraph and you're 1,000 miles away, how is that mutalafanav? Interesting. What about nowadays? And Rafal Shapiro says, no, only if you're close by. The minhag olam is like Rafal Shapiro. And therefore, the minhag olam is, if someone's relative dies in America, and they're in Israel, and they can't make it on a plane for the funeral, it's not practical, then they're not an onei. And even if they can make it on the plane to America in their funeral, the mainstream minhag is, they're not an onei until they land in America.
You didn't make phone calls?
What? Ah! That's only if... What?
No, sorry.
That, well, but nowadays, there's more than telegraph. That's only if there's nothing for them to do because they have no say in the matter and the people in America are taking care of everything. So here it gets a little tricky. With a minhag like Rafal Shapiro with an asterisk. Minhag like Rafal Shapiro, that if you're far away, it doesn't count. And if you're looking at Archie Walk in the minhag, he says the minhag is that if you're a plane ride away and you can't make it there, you're not an onein at all. And if the body's coming to you on a plane, you're not an onein until the plane lands. And if you're going on the plane, you're not an onein until the plane lands. You're not an onein until you are in geographical proximity. But that's always an asterisk if you're not actually taking care of stuff over the phone. But if you're actually taking care of stuff over the phone, then you're always an onein, because then it's as if you are next door. And that is the, again, Poskim will say a gazillion different things nowadays, but that is the main minhag nowadays. Okay, the hour is very late. So I think we will have to pick up with Se'if, Hey and Vav. Pick up with Se'if, Hey and Vav, Mir Tushem next time. Sorry, wait.